more than a few times, I've ran into people who really get bothered by the gospel reading. They get bothered by the fact they think, you know, the Lord is saying something about treating people unfair. You know, why should the guy that works 1 hour get the same salary as the guy that works all day? And even though they agreed upon that amount, they feel like something's not right, something's not fair. Jesus probably told this story precisely for that reaction, because he wants us to disturb us, in a sense. He wants us to go beyond our sometimes rather limited ways of thinking about reality. You know, we may object to that, but Jesus wants to, in a sense, jolt us into realizing that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. I thought of another passage from where St. Peter is kind of confronted by Jesus. He says, "Peter, you are thinking as human beings do, not as God does." So what is Jesus really trying to convey? To me, I think he's trying to convey to us that God's mercy is always there. And no matter what point in life you and I repent of our sins and turn to God for mercy, God will be merciful to us. Jesus wants that message to really sink home to us. God is not going to be exacting on us like somebody who wants a full day's work for a full day's salary. Instead, whenever we turn, he wants us to know that we are welcome into his kingdom. Sometimes we have this sense that God is kind of begrudging about who's going to get into the kingdom of heaven. And boy, if you haven't worked hard and earned it, you don't have a chance. And that's not at all the way our God is. Our God wants to give mercy. He wants to give life to each and every one of us. He wants every one of us in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we can choose not to go, but he wants all of us. He is the Father who loves each and every one of us. And he wants every one of us to gain eternal life. I think one of the things that's helpful for us to think about this is the fact there's no one here in this church this morning who does not need the mercy of God. If we are going to be saved, if we're going to reach eternal life, it's only because of God's mercy. There's no way that you and I can earn that. It is always God's gift to us. And so, whether I turn to God for mercy early in my life, in the middle of my life, or the end of my life, it is all a gift. Anytime. And it's only because of God's mercy that I'm going to get anywhere. Now, the more we can let that sink into us, then the more open I think we can be for God's mercy being extended to those that, in our eyes, may not be as deserving as we are. But remember, it's all mercy. It's all gift of God. Let's think about this from another point of view. Think about the thief on the cross. You know, the guy that we call the good thief. None of us begrudge what happened to him, do we? Aren't we all grateful that there at that last moment he could turn to Jesus and say, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom"? And of course, Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." I think all of us are very happy that that happened, very grateful for that. Let's make a comparison. Think about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene apparently was a sinner, because there's one place in Luke's Gospel that says that 7 demons were cast out of her by Jesus. Well, she was a sinful person, and yet we're very confident that she entered eternal life. We call her a saint, Saint Mary Magdalene. And we're also confident that the thief on the cross entered eternal life, because Jesus promised him that. But who of those two are the most enviable? Would you prefer to be Mary Magdalene or the thief on the cross? And I would argue that Mary Magdalene, in a way, was far more blessed. Because not only did she enter eternal life, but she had the joy and the privilege of a relationship with Christ Jesus while he walked on this earth. Both of them end up in the same place. But she was gifted in a special way, because she renewed repentance early in her life, and she was able to walk with Jesus. She was able to listen to him. For the thief on the cross, only in the last hour, 2 hours, and maybe even minutes, got that joy of the mercy of Jesus. Where Mary Magdalene had had it for much longer time. Imagine a parent who has an adult child from whom they have become estranged. What would be better? A reconciliation on the deathbed of the parent, or a reconciliation much earlier in life? Wouldn't we all want that reconciliation to happen much earlier? We'd be grateful if it happened at the deathbed, but we would even be more grateful if it happened earlier. Because then, the parent and the child could have the joy of coming to know each other better, coming to a deeper relationship with each other, forming a friendship. Whereas when that reconciliation happens on the deathbed, there's not a chance for that to really happen. Now, I think it's something like that in our relationship with God. You know, God is merciful if I repent at the last moment. But it is far more blessed to repent early in life. Because then we know the joy of God's love and God's mercy all through our lives. And also, we're not caught up in the slavery of sin all of our lives. Because sin in itself, as I said a couple weeks ago, does its damage. And it makes our lives far more miserable, far more unhappy. And it harms the lives of people around us. But when we repent early in life, then we have a far greater joy than those who repent just at the end of their life. I think sometimes we as preachers worry that if we stress the mercy of God too much, people are going to say, well, I'll just do what I want all my life, and I'll keep on sinning, and when the end comes, I'm going to be sorry. Well, first of all, we don't know that we're going to have that chance. We don't know when the end is coming. And secondly, we don't know if at that moment we'll have the grace to repent. Sometimes we can get so entrenched in our selfishness, so caught in our anger, our bitterness, our resentment, that we can't make that decision when the time comes. Now, once again, God's mercy is always there. But we're far wiser, far more prudent to repent of our sins now and then begin to enjoy the relationship with our God. God who loves us, God who cares for us, a God who wants nothing more than to give to us an unending life.